and W252DR Oshkosh, and WGBW1590AM Denmark, W250CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. House Republicans voting to kick Democratic Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar off her Foreign Affairs Committee assignment. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says Omar made anti-Semitic comments that could threaten national security.
It's not right. We were right in our action, and she can serve on other committees. But it puts America in jeopardy, and I'm not going to do that under my watch.
Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Omar not only apologized, but voted for a bill that condemned anti-Semitism. At the White House,
how can we compete in a global economy if millions of American parents, especially moms, can't join the workforce because child care or elder care costs them more than their paycheck?
President Biden, former President Clinton, and Vice President Harris celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Family and Medical Leave Act. Sources tell ABC News the Justice Department is in contact with former Vice President Mike Pence's lawyers about scheduling a potential search of his Indiana home. This is ABC News. A freshman Republican councilwoman from Sayreville, New Jersey, found shot to death inside an SUV. Councilwoman Eunice Dwumfor was just 30 years old. Groundhog Day or not, the first day of spring is more than 6 weeks away.
As he has nearly every second of February since 1887, Punxsutawney Phil emerged from his burrow and made his midwinter prediction. But that would make him, what, at least 136 years old? Tom Dunkel, president of the Groundhog's Inner Circle, inviting us to suspend our disbelief.
You don't get a new Easter Bunny. It's Phil's the same way. He drinks his magic, drinks the elixir of life, and so that he is, it's always the same Punxsutawney Phil.
And this year, as he's done more than four-fifths of the time, Phil saw his shadow, meaning...
6 more weeks of winter weather!
Dave Packer, ABC News.
German authorities say 9 men suspected of blowing up dozens of cash machines have been arrested in the Netherlands. United Auto Workers holding its first ever direct election of a president. Andy Field, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Push our button and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. A federal judge ruled that a civil rights lawsuit against Kyle Rittenhouse in the city and county of Kenosha can go forward. Rittenhouse shot 3 men in August of 2020 during the protests in Kenosha. 2 of those men, Anthony Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum, died. Rittenhouse was acquitted on all counts. Huber's family has filed a civil rights lawsuit to hold Rittenhouse and the police accountable for Huber's death. You could get a text message confirmation when your absentee ballot is received in the future. A new bill being circulated in the Wisconsin State Legislature, co-authored by Republican representatives, voters can already check on the status of their ballot at the myvote.wi.gov website. Adding a text message option would cost $25,000 to implement, an additional $10,000 to $30,000 per year to operate. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Joe, what do you got for us today?
In reference to Lindsey Graham, I was amazed at his comment where he said, if Trump is indicted, there will be riots in the streets. Lindsey Graham was a JAG officer, and in order to be a JAG officer, you have to pass the bar. Was a JAG
officer. I'm sorry, he's a JAG officer? I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, to see a lawyer head for the rat hole instead of acting like a person with a backbone. Wow, what a profile and courage, huh?
Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.,
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
If the dude's a real one.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Are available for you.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is sponsored by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got a pretty decent-sized show here. I just got off the phone with Bob Blake and recorded a quick update that I'll be playing here. And we also have a guest. Could you tell us a little bit about the guest before you do the rockin' news?
Sure, absolutely. So our guest tonight is Brenna from the Indigenous Peoples Task Force. Brenna is the Youth Programs Manager at the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, and she has been a part of the Native Youth Health Education Program since 2010. She is an ally to Native people and does some really wonderful work. She's going to be talking about the application for the Healing Circle and Native American Employment Training Program Cohort Number 2, as well as touching base with us because we just recently had an intern through the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, and she helped to set it up for us. So we'll touch base on that and some of the great work they do.
Awesome. Hey, without any further ado, I really appreciate that. And Bob Blake will be talking about the bill that's on the floor right now. So it's exciting to have things flying around at last minute here, but we're used to doing that, and it's going to be a rocking show. So, hey, Ogama, let's get with the news that you don't hear anywhere else with Ogama with the news.
Hey, Buju relatives, this is Ogama Kanuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news and information for you here on Native Roots Radio. And one of the things that I do want to talk about is that currently the 100% bill is the clean energy bill is currently on the floor in Minnesota. And there's an event that's happening right this moment, started about 10:30 this morning and runs until about 9 p.m. It's Pack the Rotunda for the 100% Senate hearing. But the idea of this bill is Governor Walz has a plan. It's a four-part plan for 100% clean energy in Minnesota by 2040. The standard would require all electric utilities in Minnesota to use carbon-free energy resources by 2040 and setting interim goals along the way. And it also strengthens Minnesota's energy standard with new goals. This is a really exciting bill that has stalled out in the Senate before, but people this year are optimistic that it's going to pass. So senators and pass in the Senate this year. So if you can show up at the rotunda at the Capitol and let senators know that they have a mandate to pass the 100% carbon-free electricity by 2040, get over there if you can. If not, make sure that you come next week for the Rise and Repair event. The week after next, I'm sorry, for the Rise and Repair rally for Indigenous rights and climate justice. That's happening February 15th at 11 a.m. That is also at the Minnesota State Capitol and ties really, really kind of tucks in right nicely with this 100% clean energy bill. Hopefully by that time on the 15th, that bill will have passed, and we'll be there to rally and celebrate its passing, as well as letting our elected officials know that we're watching them and we have the expectation that they will do right by Minnesota. So another event that I want to make you aware of is February 6th at 12 noon at the Federal Courthouse in Minneapolis is the Rise Up for Peltier event. It's for justice and freedom for Leonard Peltier, the political prisoner who has been in prison now for 48 years for aiding and abetting the murder of a federal agent at the FBI during the occupation at Wounded Knee. For reference, those who were convicted of aiding and abetting in the murder of George Floyd got less than half of the time that Leonard Peltier has spent in prison, just to kind of give you an idea of, wow, you know, kind of the differences that are happening there and why Peltier's continued imprisonment is political in nature. Most of you probably know next week, February 14th, is known as Red Dress Day. It is a day of honoring, remembrance, and activism for our missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. And there are events that are happening all over the state, and I'm sure there are also events that are happening nationwide that I have not been able to track down as of yet. But the three big ones that I want to mention are in Minneapolis, Duluth, and Bemidji. The one in Minneapolis happens Tuesday, February 14th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. starting at East Phillips Park. Again, they ask everybody if you wear red. Speakers begin at 11 a.m. and the march begins at noon at East Phillips Park. They'll have speakers, a lunch, informational tables, and more. This event is sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, the Minneapolis American Indian Center, the Indian Health Board of Minneapolis, the Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, as well as the Little Earth Residents Association. Just about everybody down on the avenue, right, Robert?
Yeah, it sure sounds like it.
In Duluth, Tuesday, February 14th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. is the annual Memorial March for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Relatives. This is put on by the American Indian Community Housing Organization, Native Lives Matter Coalition, Men as Peacemakers, and many others. Their event starts down at the Robert Paulus Cultural Center and at the American Indian Community Housing Organization. They do have a call out in Duluth for jingle dress dancers, hand drum singers, and people to wear red for MMIWR. Red dresses, red skirts, red shirts, red shawls, all honoring survivors, solidarity shawls to come for that event. Check-in is at 11 a.m. and at 1 p.m. the event starts with a prayer. The march will start at 2:45. All are welcome at these events. So even if you're new to this movement or you don't know too much about MMIW, but it's something that you feel connected to, show up. It's really important that our relatives are there in whatever capacity they're able to be there. In Bemidji, February 14th is Justice for MMIW 218 at the Paul and Babe. That one also runs 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They are honoring and remembering our relatives, and they will start a walk from the Paul and Babe and end at the Beaux Arts Ballroom at BSU. All are welcome, and they are asking for singers and dancers to attend. And if you have any questions, check out the MMIW218 Facebook page. So those are some of the big events that are happening around MMIW Day. Robert, this just came in recently, and I'm pretty excited about it, there's a media alert on the Aiken County Water Protectors hearing and Sheriff Dan Guida. There is a decision on this that's most likely to come in mid-May, and hopefully there's going to be some briefs and things that are happening in regards to this. But February 1st, 2023, water protectors facing charges from defending land, air, and water from Line 3 had their contested omnibus hearing at the Aiken County Courthouse, and their attorney examined Aiken County Sheriff Dan Guida on the stand about $355,000 his department received from Enbridge's escrow account and about recent allegations that he had roughed up a subpoena server. The attorney also questioned Richard Hart, who's the manager of Enbridge's escrow fund, which was used to pay county and state police officers and situations for arresting water protectors. They've raised the questions of legality about this. There was $8.5 million paid to Minnesota law enforcement agencies. So hopefully with this, there's going to be things that we're going to see coming up in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, hopefully. Hey, we got a special report from Bob Blake on in his car, and then we're going to get to Brianna. And you are listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, before we get our next guest on, I want to play this quick clip here and get a total update about what's happening at the Capitol and the big bill that's on going to be on the floor that the House passed. So let's try this technology here. I'm going to be playing it from my phone onto the Roadcaster.
Hey, we got a special report here from Robert Blake from Red Lake. I always have to say that. A lot of fun. Robert is with Solar Bear with the Solar News normally, but he's on an important assignment right now. But we wanted to talk a little bit real quick before he has to jump into a meeting about what's going on at the Capitol right now. Thanks a lot, Robert, for stopping in.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Robert. What we got going on is the Senate is currently voting on the 100% campaign. And so this is really important because it passed the House and now it goes to the Senate. And if we can have it passed in the Senate, Robert, then it will go to Governor Waltz's desk, and then he can then sign it into law. So this would be really huge for the state of Minnesota, for renewable energy, for jobs, for workforce development, for, you know, the state attracting talent into our communities. And so this is just really good all the way around for the state of Minnesota.
So what is all in that bill? Can you tell our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're trying to do is the bill basically gives a timeline. So by 2040, what we would like to do is we would like to have, you know, energy resources, you know, be 100% carbon free. So meaning renewable, you know, basically renewable energy supporting, you know, our energy infrastructure. And this will then in turn be able to create clean, cheap energy for our communities. And we'll also give incentives to homeowners, to businesses that want to go renewable, and also, you know, attract, you know, different types of, you know, I guess, like heat source air pumps, you know, that we then could use for, you know, our heating sources. So, you know, this is really good legislation, some really, really smart people. Big shout out to Chris Conroy, who has been leading this fight for the last 5 years, and has just done a tremendous job. And we're so excited that, you know, that this is all coming to fruition. And so we just have to see that this gets passed in the Senate now.
Right on. So we got the trifecta here. So they've been passing and pushing bills through really quick that we need finally, because in the last cycle, the Republicans were ahead of the Senate. So this is time to really do what you said you're going to do. And it's an exciting time too, Robert.
Absolutely, Robert. And the thing about it is too, you know, that, you know, I mean, we have a very slim lead in the Senate, right? So a lot of things can happen here, right? But what we're hoping for is that, you know, even if it does stay by party lines, hopefully we can get a couple of you know, people from the other side to come and vote for this. Because when you look at the state of Minnesota, 70% of Republicans, 70% of Democrats want clean energy. You know, so this is a bipartisan issue in the state of Minnesota. So, you know, it's just, you know, that 40% that are like gung-ho about it and that other 30% that are on the fence about it. So, you know, when you look at those statistics, you know, we can get this done in the state of Minnesota, and it doesn't have to be a bipartisan issue. This can be a one Minnesota issue. And that's what's really exciting about this, because it's going to create jobs. It's going to create opportunities. It's going to continue to keep Minnesota a leader in education, in attracting talent to our communities. So there's so many good things in here that are, we really hope that the Senate passes it this evening. If not, you know, please, everyone, contact your senator, tell them that you want them to vote for 100% clean energy, and let's get this to Tim Walz's desk so he can sign it into law.
Perfect. And I was just going to ask you what the call to action is, but you just gave it. Hey, Robert, I know you're really busy, but it was really important for us to talk. Have a great night. Thanks again for helping out here on Native Roots Radio and helping all over Turtle Island with these important issues.
Yep. Thank you very much, Robert, for doing this. And I appreciate everyone. And please contact your senator for 100% clean energy. Miigwech.
Ho-wa.
That was Robert Blake from Red Lake. I always love to say that. Hey, we're with Brenna. Is that how you say your name? Wow,
yep,
good.
Brenna.
I'm always destroying people's names, so thank you for your your patience. And you're with the Indigenous People's Task Force and the Healing Circle, Keeping the Fire Alive, and you are going to be talking about the cohort number 2. And I know Ogama and I have been working with you and your group, and we had an intern, so it's really exciting to hear about this program and what's next. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. It's kind of exciting to be here. This is something new for me. And yeah, it was really great that you both reached out about hosting an intern. And So that's a new program at Indigenous Peoples Task Force. So we had a really small pilot cohort April to June 2022, and then did kind of a bigger rollout. And you were able to host an intern in November and December, and then some of January here. And so, it did. It took a lot of community partners that were willing to show their support of that group of young Native adults. We're working with 18 to 24-year-olds. And just really, as an organization, we thought about what are some of the gaps in programming that's offered in Minneapolis. IPTF has, my role at IPTF, I've done a lot of Native youth programming, whether it's in theater, health education, things like sexual health, suicide prevention. But then we really saw what happens when Native youth are kind of aging out of those after-school programs, and wanted to provide something that would help them make that kind of transition from high school to building some career skills and having some introduction to some of the jobs and careers that are right there in their community, but they probably don't see. There's jobs like Target or Chipotle that they see all the time, and so that might be what they're imagining for their future. And we just wanted to open up that there's so many other types of jobs at Native nonprofit organizations, community organizations, and just show them that their life experiences, knowledge, a lot of their cultural knowledge makes them a really good fit for some of the entry-level jobs in Native organizations right in their community. So.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. I think you said that all. And I know Ogama worked heavily with our intern, and it was a blessing to have her. And, you know, it's like the yellow Volkswagen syndrome. Now I see her all over the place. I saw her at the Round Dance, her family, and I saw her little brother Opie at the fair before that. But, you know, I guess, Ogama, how did you feel about the program? Because I feel like we hit the jackpot with who we got.
Absolutely. Our intern, Ayana, we miss her dearly, and we're working on some ways to maybe try to have her back and try to have her join us again. But it was really eye-opening and exciting to be able to offer that opportunity to somebody, a youth in the community. And also, I think we felt like, you know, we were offering this opportunity with the internship, but what she gave back to us and the skills that she brought were so amazing. And mm-hmm. It was really, really great to have her. And I would encourage other Native organizations, you know, if this internship program comes around again, Brenna did a really great job, and Indigenous Peoples Task Force really put on a really professional and wonderful program with this.
Oh man, that's really great to hear. I appreciate that. And, it was so easy to just really care about that group of 11 interns and just want the absolute best for them. So I'm so happy to hear that Ayana's impact in your work and just having that young energy made a positive difference. So this program was funded by Minnesota Department of Human Services. And so we had 11 interns complete the program. And then our goal is to have 24 interns complete the program. So it's 8-week internships that start with a 40-hour professional development training where they kind of really get to know each other, realize that this is a group of people that can support them, like fellow Native peers that they can share some experiences with. And we've done 11. We have 13 more to go, so I'll be kicking off this next cohort probably late March or early April. And so our social media will be kind of the first place where the application is available, and you can learn more, whether you're a Native young person 18 to 24 in the Twin Cities or an organization that would like to host an intern.
Hey, can you stay with us? We got another segment. Well, we got a couple more segments, but do you mind staying on with us for another segment? Because I want to grill you about some stuff.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Don't panic. He's great. Right. Don't worry.
Hey, you're, she said, oh, boy. Hey, it's that Indian sense of humor you got to get used to. Hey. So with Brianna, and we are with the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, and we're going to be right back. And we're going
to... WAUK.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. House Republicans voting to kick Democratic Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar off her Foreign Affairs Committee assignment. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says Omar made anti-Semitic comments that could threaten national security.
It's not right. We were right in our action, and she can serve on other committees. But it puts America in jeopardy, and I'm not going to do that under my watch.
Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Omar not only apologized, but voted for a bill that condemned anti-Semitism. At the White House...
How can we compete in the global economy if millions of American parents, especially moms, can't join the workforce because child care or elder care costs them more than their paycheck?
President Biden, former President Clinton, and Vice President Harris celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Family and Medical Leave Act. Sources tell ABC News the Justice Department is in contact with former Vice President Mike Pence's lawyers about scheduling a potential search of his Indiana home. This is ABC News.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Jennifer Durrow's first radio ads are on the air, touting her stewardship of the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial. No word on how much she's spending. Janet Protasewicz launched a $700,000 TV ad campaign last week, and a group called Fair Courts America is spending $240,000 on radio ads urging support for Dan Kelly. The Wisconsin Supreme Court primary is the 21st. A man from Northwest Wisconsin gets 30 years in prison for beating another man to death with a hammer last year. It happened last March in Osceola. Firefighters found the victim's body in a burning mobile home. A Polk County judge handed down the sentence this week. In sports, Marquette beat Villanova last night 64-73. The Bucks host the Clippers tonight, and the Badgers are at Ohio State. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
music isn't working. Sorry, Connor. You're just going to have to go live with Black Shirt Basketball.
All right. Well, this is the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network. Apologize about the music. I am Connor, filling in for Downtown Donnie Brown, who is still out, unfortunately, because of the passing of his mother this past weekend. Much condolences, thoughts and prayers go out to Don. Tonight, as the Black Shirts host crosstown rivals Waukesha North, we welcome those listeners from Native Roots Radio to tonight's broadcast. As Black Shirt Nation is proudly represented by Indigenous peoples, as well as the sons and daughters of the Northern Migration, the descendants of the Middle Passage, the Irish diaspora in America, and all of the banished children of Eve, it is our honor and duty to walk alongside our Native brethren through your struggles, triumphs, and achievements, and are happy to declare that Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues. We welcome you to join us on Black Shirt Basketball's journey of redemption, triumph, and self-discovery in this year's campaign. For those of you who are new, this program lost 60 straight conference games before fighting their way to their first winning season and playoff berth in 20 years, two seasons ago. And then last season, to win their first Classic A championship in 20 years and a berth to the sectional finals before falling short just one game away from the state finals. Returning from last year's team are two All-State senior guards, the talk of the entire state. I was going to say town, but Tyron Cook is ranked seventh in the league along with his compadre Daniel Robinson. They lead a supporting cast of juniors and seniors who have really elevated their game throughout this entire season. Tonight we're going against Waukesha North. Waukesha North, we had played them earlier in the season. I believe we had came out on top. They're led by their 6-0 starting 6-0 senior Franco Williams, along with Jonah Freedy and Kai Ramirez as their starting guards. So after our last game, in which we won pretty fair and square against West, I think we had beaten them by 12 or so. From the previous game, the clubs aren't that different. They don't have as deep, talking about North now, they don't have as deep of a lineup as West. And West didn't even really tap or go deep into their bench anyway. So I'm thinking both squads are going to pull a 9 or 10 man rotation here. So this game's going to be kind of feisty. These teams are going to be really fighting to the end here. Johnny, you've been watching a little bit of this JV game. What are your thoughts on this game this far?
It's really intense right at the end. There's 7 seconds left. You know, we got a 47 Black Shirts, 45 North. So this is a close one right here. We got 7 seconds left.
Yeah.
Pretty intense. Going back and forth.
Yeah, and the JVs have just been amazing this year. And this is the second. This is another game where, because last game it was also a nail biter right at the end. And this one's no different. They inbound the ball. North has it right now. Number 13's driving in, but then he passes out up to number one. He does a three, but then it misses. And that's the game.
I think we won, dude.
And we won there. That was the three to win the game. They probably should have tried to drive or draw a foul or something. You know, a three in that position is a little bit too risky. But yeah, it looks like South just won, or JV South just won this game. Another great showing by what I think are going to be the replacement star guards, Zayas DeWalt and Joseph Cost. This game, as they played pretty well, got stops. Zayas, you know, he was drawing fouls. He's all around, really good all around tool player, and so. You have any thoughts on that game there?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, it was going back and forth for a little while there, and then it was about maybe 8 minutes left in the game, and the JVs on the Black Shirt side were down a little bit, and they took a timeout, got coached up, went back out, and pulled ahead, and they pulled off a win by one bucket. So that was a pretty great game to watch right at the end there.
Yeah, just one bucket. right now, for those of you who couldn't come or drive up to Waukesha North, the crowd's looking pretty scant, but they're filling in. Varsity's getting set.
They're not as busy as it was for the West game.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. The
bleachers are a little thinner.
Little thinner, but I expect to see lots of enthusiasm from the student body, from each respective student bodies. They're maybe small in numbers, but they're large in spirit. That was the atmosphere at the last game. Very, very much so. The varsity is right in front of us. We got front row seats. I feel so lucky. I feel like I'm at a professional. I'm down at I'm at United Center, and I'm looking at MJ or something.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a little different to be down on courtside here. It's a little different perspective.
Yeah.
You know, last Tuesday we were up elevated a little bit.
Yeah, they're
a little better shot.
They're so tall. They're so tall.
Yeah, right.
It never ceases to amaze me whenever I get courtside in a basketball game, just looking how tall the players end up being. If you go to an NBA game, they look like giant statues. Here, they're at least around the same height, if not a little bit taller than us. So it's not as dwarfing. But I want to talk a little bit about how South is doing this season before we start the game. And kind of where what I think is going to happen for the latter half of the season thus far, because right now I think they are 7-8 and 7 totally, if not 7-7. And so they're around 500, and so it's not very easy. It's not going to be easy to be able to predict what their playoff run is going to look like, especially with their games against some of the non-conference teams being a little bit all over the place in their performance, usually directly reflective of however deep the opposing team's lineup is. But what I have been noticing, especially with last game with Charlie Moroz, in whom this entire
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everyone. This portion of the show is brought to you by MNsure. If you're looking for health insurance that you can afford, head on over to MNsure.org. That's MNsure.org.
Hey, Pina Gigi Ogama. Hey, we're here with Johnny Iron up next to Robert Lilligren. Johnny, I just want to talk a little bit here before we let you go about the big show coming up and let everybody know where, who, what, where, when, and how. Oh, I got you muted. Hold on a second here. No, go ahead, Johnny. You're up.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, it'll be myself, Trish Cook, fellow Red Laker, and Leech Laker. The Res reporter Rob Fairbanks will be live at the historic. I drew a blank. What is it called?
The Parkway Theater.
That's
Parkway Theater.
Parkway Theater. Yeah, it's you know. It's kind of a special thing because all three of us were actually born in Southside, Minneapolis. I grew up there the first 3-4 years of life, and Trish and Rob, their youth there. So it's kind of a important date for us. We're all coming back, and, you know, we're going to res it up. So that's pretty exciting for us. You know, we've been doing this for I actually started with Indian Way podcast, which I have right here. I have my own podcast. It's on, you know, iTunes and Spotify. And I figured, you know, when I actually tried the book, it took me 10 years to get in a club down in the cities to have my own show. Mm-hmm. And Mike Brody, he's the one that booked us at the House of Comedy. And he's, well, you have a name for your, you know, your show? Like, well, I got a podcast called Indian Way with Johnny Iron. So, yeah, you can use that. You use Indian Way. So we ran with that. I think our first one was in June of 2020. And, you know, middle of right at the beginning of the pandemic, and there was like maybe 11 people there, and it wasn't really it was a tricky time because, you know, we're all still wearing masks and they're wiping down mics after every time somebody was done, and it was really a sketchy time to try and do comedy. But, you know, they called us back, and, you know, I invited Trish to the next one, and Rob was still down, so we just went with this group. And, you know, All Ojibwe and All Ojibwe lineup has ever headlined the House of Comedy, and also what we're doing this weekend. You know, we've been able to make it to Fargo, North Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at Boss's Comedy Club. And, you know, we're just trying to spread some Ojibwe joy. So that's pretty much what we're doing. You know, we all get along good together. And that's the thing I wanted to talk about, you know, the Indigenous comedians. You know, everyone that I've ever worked with is nothing but, you know, pure professional. You keep it on a professional level. Friendships grow from that, and we're all just like a pretty, you know, big family. You know, you read about mainstream comedians that are, you know, difficult to work with, but you know, this is just all of us coming together. And, you know, I actually had a post yesterday, today, about you know, my five favorite Indigenous comedians, and I never really thought of that before, but I went ahead and did it anyway. So I'm probably going to be in trouble for ranking all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, give us a sneak peek of that ranking before we let you go.
Okay, number five, I had Von Eagleberg. You know, I love the guy. You know, he's probably one of the smartest men I've ever been around. And, you know, he was one of the, when I first started out, I did a show with him, and he gave us, like, the best advice. You know, it was in Red Lake at the time. And he said, you know, you're here, you know, these are your people. They want to hear you. You know, they want to see you succeed, so there should be no pressure. And that really just, you know, took all the pressure off of us doing that show in Red Lake. And, number four, I couldn't really break them all down, but the 49 Laughs comedy, you know, Tatanka Means, Ernie Sosi, James June, and Adrian Chalupa, Pax Harvey, you know, all strictly, you know, professional, get along good with them. So I put them all in as number four. And then number three was J.R. Redwater, you know, probably one of the best comedians out there right now. But number two, Mark Yaffe, another straight professional. He's on the road constantly and, you know, trailblazing for the rest of us, you know, making a name for the Indigenous comedy out there. And then number one, I had to give it to old school Larry Omaha. You know, I got to work with him, sat with him and visited him for a while. And I was just blown away. He had so many stories with Charlie Hill, you know, all the Eddie Murphy and all those guys in Hollywood I was just impressed by him. And so that's why he gets number one, because he's our king right now, you know, after Charlie Hill passed away. So, yeah.
Well, Johnny R., thanks for stopping in. I'm going to get one of those Indian Way shirts that you got hanging up back there when I come down there.
That's some good.
Some cool swag. Appreciate it. We're going to see you at the Parkway this Saturday.
Yep.
And we'll see you. And thanks again for stopping in.
Yep. Thanks for having me. It was an honor.
Oh, wow. All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Wow, that's cool. We got Robert Lilligren coming on right now here. And Ogamai, there you go. That was a fun interview. Welcome, Robert. And you are muted, I can see here. Oh, wow.
Yeah, there bonjour, Ogamai, bonjour, Robert. Great to be here. It was a great interview to listen to.
Oh, it's just, we should try and get a comedy. You know, I'd read this book and Johnny R. was able to get me in touch with the author, and he was in the book, and it was awesome. And we should try and get some kind of comedy contest, your native comedy contest going on. And that's not my idea. It's been done before in the book, and it sounds really, really fun and exciting to have something like that here in the Twin Cities. And that would be fun.
It sounds cool, especially, you know, native humor. It's great humor. And I so respect people who can be funny, you know, intentionally. When I try to be funny, I'm not. And then, you know, sometimes I'll be speaking to a group and everyone bursts out laughing. What did I just say? So right. I really respect the art of people who can be funny on demand.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good segue. Robert Lilligren, Native Community Development Institute, among a lot of other things here in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Speaking of comedy now, since we last spoke, we got Professor Pence here with some documents at his house now, Vice President.
Oh, so right.
The beats go on and on.
That whole thing is so intriguing. You know, it wasn't a surprise when they found all that at Trump's. You know, I think, I don't know, it led many of us think he may have been passing information on and things. So then when the Biden thing happened, I thought, well, what is this? I thought maybe there was some strategy there or something. But now with Pence, it just makes me wonder how leaky the whole federal government is, you know, a leaky vessel. And I've been reading a little about it, and some of it may have to do with the classification of documents, how they're classified and things. But still, it sounds kind of messy.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things the Republicans like to bring up is, like, how come they aren't raiding Obama's house? And I never even thought of that. The last president before the last president, I wonder if he's got any documents.
Well, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It doesn't it? And I'm guessing you probably saw the meme on social media and everything that had the panel of Fox News presenters all wearing neck braces because they had to do such a quick sort of double take after they were dumping all over Biden. And then when Pence's classified documents got discovered and reported on, pretty good humor.
Well, here's another national question I have for you, too. Omar, they're trying to get rid of Omar, but I don't think they have the votes in that committee.
It looks like they don't. And, you know, fingers crossed. And Ilhan Omar is my congressperson. I'm a huge supporter. I think she's an important voice and presence in Congress. She's great to the local Native community. She has brought considerable resources here. She's very present in the community, even when she's not speaking. She just shows up at community events.
Right.
So she's a big supporter of us. I'm a big supporter of hers. And it looks like there isn't going to be, fingers crossed, the votes. And you know, I was talking the last couple of weeks about trying to see where this kind of center bipartisan majority that can actually govern might be emerging. And, you know, I suspect we'll see something around the debt ceiling limit. But here's a little precursor, I think, to that. And you know, there isn't an equivalency, you know, between Congresswoman Omar and people like Congresswoman Taylor Greene and, you know, the threats they made, the threats of violence that prompted them to get removed from committees. They just don't like, you know, who she is, what she represents. And so, you know, hopefully cooler heads will prevail.
Yeah, I think so. And I think you're right. It's a precursor because, you know, how ridiculous is that? And how ridiculous, what did the Speaker of the House have to sell his soul? I mean, you got people that are in committees that should be, investigating themselves.
Right. Yeah, that oversight committee is pretty scary, the membership there. And I suspect that there's going to be these little you know, landmines exploding throughout, you know, representing the deal that that the speaker made, McCarthy made, to get the vote. And I don't think that's really serving the American people very well. I don't think it's serving the American Republic very well either. So, but there's more of these for sure. And I was pretty impressed with the Senate Minority Leader sending the issue over to the speaker. It's like, okay, the debt ceiling debate.
Yeah.
You figure it out, you know. And I think that was smart strategy. And I think that McCarthy will find out in short order that he's going to have to compromise and bend.
Well, I keep on hearing over and over again, and not from the mainstream media, but from people probably on AM 950 and experts over during the day, that these debts are caused by Republicans. Whenever they're in power, they go in deep in debt. And we know that with Trump, that we were so deep in debt and he was spending like sailor and then lifting taxes and taxing the poor and, you know, Robin Hood and, you know, all this stuff. But you know, even all the way back to Reagan, you know, just spending right. like drunken sailors. And then the Democrats.
That's just a fact that Republican administrations drive up the debt and Democratic administrations pay it down, or at least get it under control, right? And it's kind of a false indicator anyway. The debt ceiling is kind of a fabricated limit, and it gives this outsized leverage every time that it needs to be addressed and needs to be raised. And it's not just about the U.S., right? The entire world economy hinges on the success of the U.S. economy. So these guys are playing chicken with the world economy.
Right.
And I suspect some of them would be willing to crash the world economy to prove their point or to get their way.
Exactly. And we'll see how far that goes for 2024. Hey, Robert, can you hold on for another segment?
Yeah, happy to. Thanks.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Ogama and Robert Lilligren, and we're talking a little politics. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. Ho-wah.
Have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
You are listening to WAUK 540 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always stream.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union Address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation, too. The State of the Union Address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.